Down down the first session, we were at a verb in Ephesians 5:18. The positive mandate is where we are following the conjunction but, and then we have pleroo, which we have translated now as a tendential present passive imperative, meaning to keep on being filled. And pleroo is a tendential present tense. It represents the idea of what is intended to occur, but not taking place at the moment. The spiritual life of these believers in Ephesus is no longer functional because of dissipation. That has been a widespread problem in the community. There's entirely too much keg tapping going on. They've become involved in far too much social life, and they are spending too much time flaunting time. And so to bring this to a stop, we have a negative mandate followed by the positive mandate. But the positive mandate indicates something that is intended to occur. It is not taking place at the moment. Therefore, this mandate indicates that the believer is involved in a state of drunkenness rather than being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he is ordered to stop the former and to begin the latter. Quite often, this is how one discovers yet one more concept in God's personal plan for his life. For when you encounter a mandate in Scripture that is negative and it identifies your behavior patterns, right away you recognize that that's not the plan of God for your life. And then you have to make a volitional decision to stop what you're now doing. And then, as often is the case, you'll have a positive mandate tacked right on behind it to tell you what you need to start doing. That then becomes the identification of yet one more principle regarding God's perfect plan for your life. So if you have any questions about your lifestyle and your behavior patterns, the imperative moods do this for you. The negative may tells you to stop doing what you're doing, and then the positive mandate that follows tells you what you need to begin doing. Now, if you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're not filled with the Spirit now, that means you're not in the plan of God, and you're therefore not thinking what you need to be thinking. You're not doing what you need to be doing, and I will say that you are where you need to be. You are in the geographic will of God if you're in a Bible class attempting to grow in grace. But if you're here out of fellowship, you're not thinking properly, and therefore your actions are not going to reflect the concepts of biblical truth. So we have all of this brought out in this tendential present tense. The execution of the mandate, therefore, begins with rebound. That's where you must go. See, the but is the place for rebound. We have stop being drunk with wine, which is dissipation. We've been through, and we'll call that the negative mandate. And then we have Allah. That's but. Be filled, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do you get a transition here out of the negative to the positive? Well, the but is what introduces that. But rebound so that you can then be filled with the Holy Spirit, which you are not now doing. So that's the concept that comes out. There has to be a way to make the transition from the negative to the positive, and rebound is it. And therefore, execution of the mandate begins with rebound, but it is maintained by a series of volitional decisions to reject temptation and avoid sinning. When you rebound, you haven't actually accomplished a whole lot. You're now filled with the Holy Spirit. You're in status quo spirituality, but you have behavior patterns and you have a flawed conscience from spending so much time in carnality that your volition now must depend on the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome these behavior patterns which have developed. Otherwise, it's going to be a rock and roll for you. You will rebound and get back above the line, but immediately tempted and go back down below. And then how long you spend there is questionable. Then you rebound, and then it's back down below. Rebound down below. And when are you going to get this thing solved? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit does it, and you can't wear out rebound, so that has to become a modus operandi. And so the decision to reject temptation and avoid sinning is a key. Therefore, when a carnal believer submits to this mandate and rebounds, then the tense of the verb changes. Let's take a person in Ephesus, or take yourself personally if you're out of fellowship right now. You are dissipated if you're an Ephesian. And you have Paul come in and write this letter to the Ephesians and tells you to stop being dissipated. Stop doing what you're doing. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled. It's not what you're doing now, but you need to start doing that. Now, once you rebound and once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then this mandate becomes a retroactive, progressive present. This is an after-the-fact concept. And the present tense of duration is the idea. It denotes that which has begun in the past and continues to the present. It's not Paul's idea that you do the rock and roll. He says that when you rebound and you get back above the line, you're to stay there. And you're to grow in grace under the power of the Spirit, and you are to make that upward advance toward the high ground. You're not to do the rock and roll. So therefore, we have the concept that once you rebound here and become filled with the Holy Spirit, it is a present tense of duration. The rebound occurred in the past, and it continues, the effects of that continue to the present. It indicates, therefore, present linear action, and thus refers to the process of redeeming and investing time. And so that puts you above the line in status quo spirituality, and this is where you are investing. You stay above it, you keep the action going, and that is where you invest the time. Now here's the passive voice. The subject is the church age believer, and he is being acted upon by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you have nothing to do with the fact you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit does this. You have to rebound in order to take care of the sin. But it is the Holy Spirit who fills you. Therefore, it is a passive voice. You're being acted upon. Therefore, we can say that the passive voice here is the voice of grace. Rebound recovery is a grace provision for recovery from carnal death. And the filling of the Holy Spirit, therefore, is a grace result. Rebound recovery is a grace provision whereby you can use problem-solving device number one to recover from carnal death and deeds of darkness, as we've noted. And then after that is done, then you have the grace provision. You have the concept that the filling of the Holy Spirit is the result. But the Holy Spirit does this. He produces the action. Once the Holy Spirit is back in control of our lives, we are then able to utilize His divine power. Now, there are those who claim they're going to swear off something. Come January 1st, I'm never going to cuss again. Come January 1st, I'll never drink again. Come January 1st, I'm not going to chase women again. And therefore, that means, by the way, that December's one hell-raising time for these people. But when January comes, they say, that's it for me. I'm not doing this anymore. Well, there's no power of the Holy Spirit there. It's just what you call willpower. They bite the bullet and deny themselves. And how long can you deny yourself the rest of your life doing something? The old sin nature's running the soul. When people do this, New Year's resolution, they want to quit some tawdry activity they're involved in. They live over here. And they're saying, I'm going to use my volition, which is being dictated to by the old sin nature, dominated by temptations from the agents provocateurs. I've never been able to override this or control it my entire life, but starting January the 1st, I'm going to do it. And a person can have willpower, and he can actually get self-righteous about this and hold out for as many as 3 or 4 days. And then it's all hell breaks loose at that point. And then, by the way, frustration follows. Get very frustrated, even depressed, that they can't overcome the problem. And what they need to do is remember grace and just confess the thing and get over here where a rebound is available. You don't really quit what you have decided is bad behavior. You just can't seem to stop. But you have rebound and you can maintain a lifestyle that is predominantly above the line. And you let the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God take care of the problem as the Holy Spirit is able to give you the leadership and guidance from doctrine and the power of the filling in order to overcome it. And eventually you will be victorious, but to swear off of something, that has no value whatsoever and leads really to catastrophe as people become very depressed. And so you must note here that once the Holy Spirit is back in control of your lives, we're able to utilize His divine power. We have now had the deficiency created by the personal sin eliminated, and it was eliminated by the filling of the Holy Spirit. So the deficiency now has been filled. So to fill up a deficiency concept comes in here. When you are out of fellowship, let's pretend that this is the soul, and you have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then when you sin, the filling of the Holy Spirit is canceled, and there's an emptiness here. There is no spiritual power, no spiritual influence whatsoever. And so all of this is empty. So that's no good. So you confess your sins, that's rebound, and that means that you have the filling of the Holy Spirit restored. Now that fills up a deficiency. So be filled with the Holy Spirit means to take that deficiency caused by personal sin and convert it into a filling. And therefore this deficiency here, this has been taken care of through rebound. Now, therefore, we have a deficiency created through sin, but eliminated by the filling. The imperative mood is positive, a mandate directed to the volition of the carnal believer to use the problem-solving device of rebound, and then to recover from cosmic living, which has been described as dissipation. Now, next comes the very important prepositional phrase. It is introduced by the preposition in. E-N. And then we have tacked on to that pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. N plus pneuma. And it means with the Holy Spirit. Point one. In the Koine Greek, the instrumental of agency is used to express a personal agency rather than impersonal means. What this is going to get around to telling you is that this is all a grace process, that it is the Holy Spirit who fills you when you confess your sins. It's interesting that any time you get around to something associated with the spiritual life, we really don't have anything to do with it. We can be positive and we can seek to follow truth, but the real power, the real mechanics of it all is managed through grace. We receive the action of these things. The power of the Holy Spirit is a grace gift to us under the filling ministry. The instruction of the Holy Spirit is a grace gift to us through His mentorship. He teaches us, we don't teach Him. He fills us, we don't fill Him. There's nothing we can do to accomplish these things other than to receive them, know we have them, and then utilize them through positive volition. And so pneuma plus the instrumental of agent, includes the instrumental of agency in pneuma with the Holy Spirit. In such cases, therefore, the verb is usually in the middle or passive voice when we have this instrumental of agency. And here, as we have just noted, pleroo is in the passive voice. Point two. However, we have a textual problem. The problem is that the words holy nor human appear in the verse. Therefore, it must be determined whether the mandate makes reference to the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. For example, point three. Look in your Bibles. Do you have the words Holy Spirit down there? You may. I don't know how the English Bibles go. But there is no word for holy. There's no word for human. It's just spirit. That's all that's in the original. Now, I'm going to show you that it's the Holy Spirit. And if we're translating from the Greek into the English, we're going to put the word holy there because that is the Spirit that's being referenced. My point is, it's not in the original. So we got a problem textually, don't we? So the key to our interpretation lies in the fact that there is the absence of a definite article in the prepositional phrase. Its literal but incorrect translation into the English would be, keep on being filled with Spirit. And you see, there's a pun going on here. People are zonkered on spirits in the first half of the verse, and he says, stop that. Stop what you're now doing. But instead, what you're to do is keep on being filled with Spirit. Well, how is that going to be translated? I can hear the holy rollers now. Get your hands up. raise Jesus, and we'll play, the band will play, and we will prance and meander around the aisles. We are with Spirit. Well, that's not it, because it's simply the fact that we have the absence of the definite article. We want to wind up saying, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we've got to wind up with. But we don't have a thee here, and we don't have a holy. So four, when there is no definite article, the construction is referred to as anarthros. I'll put that word up for you. Make sure I get my vowels right. A-N-A-R-T-H-R-O-U-S, anarthros. And that simply means that this is a grammatical principle, which means there's no definite article. That's what the anarthros construction means. Now, I want to define that for you, and we'll go to Dana and Mantey's Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament. Sometimes, they write, sometimes with a noun, the definite article is not used. Now, when we describe something, I have here on the pulpit a Bible. I have on the pulpit here Bible. We like to use definite articles, definite or indefinite, the or a or an. And it doesn't sound right in our constructions quite often if we ignore those. However, in the Greek, it's quite different. When you eliminate the definite article, it oftentimes brings some things out that otherwise would not be apparent. So we have nouns in the Greek where the definite article is not used. And this places stress upon the qualitative aspect of the noun rather than its mere identity. You're not really trying to identify what kind of spirit here. You're trying to show what kind of quality of spirit is involved in the concept. So it's quality superseding identity. An object of thought may be conceived of, therefore, from two points of view, as to identity or quality. To convey the first point of view, the Greek uses the definite article. You want to identify something, you use the definite article. Second point of view, the anarthros construction is used when you want to emphasize the quality of the noun that is in question. Therefore, in a prepositional phrase, it is the qualitative aspect of the noun which is prominent rather than its identity. So the quality of the noun is the point here rather than simply to identify it. Thus, point five, the absence of the definite article before the word spirit or pneuma emphasizes the high quality and the superior character of the noun. So, of the two possible interpretations, guess the one that you have to choose. The human spirit isn't a high quality and superior characteristic as compared to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that is superior. The Holy Spirit is the one that possesses the highest character. So with the absence of the definite article, the obvious choice to identify the noun pneuma is holy, the third person of the Trinity. And further, point six, the instrumental of agency tells us that the filling of the Spirit is by agency of this Spirit. And therefore, for a person to have the filling of the Spirit from the source of the human spirit doesn't even make sense. The human spirit is not a part of the soul. The human spirit is completely different from the soul. You have a body when you're born to which a soul is imputed, but you do not have a human spirit. The human spirit makes you trichotomous. It is created at the moment of your spiritual birth, to which eternal life is imputed. And therefore, the human spirit is not going to fill the soul. That would make you dichotomous rather than trichotomous in a way. So there's another way you eliminate the idea that spirit means the human spirit. Again, the instrumental of agency tells us that the filling of the Spirit is by agency of this Spirit, obviously the Holy Spirit. Then again, point seven. Add to this that the verb pleroo, keep on being filled, is in the passive voice. You receive the action of the verb. And we are also forced, therefore, to conclude that the Spirit by whom we are to keep on being filled is the Holy Spirit. This becomes a major mandate in the Word of God for the execution of the Christian way of life. Without this, there is no spiritual life. And therefore, we have these two mandates, one negative and one positive. Corrected translation, Ephesians 5:18. Stop being intoxicated with wine, which is dissipation, but keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And with all of the grammatical nuances involved, we could translate it, but keep on being controlled by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And when we put this particular chart back up on the board, that is precisely what is taking place in the left column. The imperative moods of Scripture are taught to the individual's soul. The filling of the Holy Spirit provides him with the perspicacity to understand divine thought. That's your spiritual IQ. And when you say, yes, I believe it, positive volition, then it is put into your stream of consciousness, where it is stored there by the Holy Spirit for spiritual growth, for application and problem solving. In addition to that, the Holy Spirit stores the information on the hard disk of the soul, which is the cerebral cortex of the brain, where in memory traces, wheel tracks of righteousness are established, and therefore the volition which controls in the soul, the volition of the soul controls the activities of the body. Volition mandates under the filling of the Spirit that certain activities be carried out, which are wheel tracks of righteousness. And therefore the manifestation of that fruit of the Holy Spirit as per Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 through 23. And when you're on that left-hand column there, then that is the concept and the end result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You are controlled by the agency of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that rules your life rather than the sinful nature. You also need to be aware of the fact that when you are out of fellowship in status quo carnality, it is the old sin nature that controls your life. You're being acted upon either way. You don't control your own life. Your life is either being controlled by the body or your life is either being controlled by the Spirit. And your choice is to determine in your own mind which way you want to go. I can assure you, if you follow the dictates and mandates of the body, you will not pursue the plan of God. You will pursue your own agenda. However, if you stay filled with the Holy Spirit and follow the mandates revealed in Bible class, made clear to you under GAP, retained by the power of the Spirit, recalled under His recall ministry under pressure, you can execute the Christian way of life just by applying the mandates. Not do one thing, do other things. This leads you into the paths of righteousness, as David calls them, wheel tracks of righteousness. This keeps you headed toward the objective, and that leads you to wherever God wants you to be. And you don't have to know where you're going. You just have to get through this day doing what God wants you to do. Eventually, you get to where you need to be, and when you get to spiritual maturity, the tapestry is pretty well done, and you have a wide picture of what the plan of God is for your life. If you say, well, I need to go to Montana and find myself, you haven't made very big advance as far as your spiritual life is concerned. Point 8. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a status quo that is infinitely superior to being filled with Spirit. Paul made a funny here. I guess y'all missed that. Some of you got it. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a status quo that is infinitely superior to being filled with spirits. The qualitative aspects of this are emphasized by four applications of the verb plero. The absence of the definite article emphasizes the qualitative aspects of the noun pneuma, spirit. So let's note some of the qualitative aspects of plero as it applies to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Point one. To fill up a deficiency. The human soul has no innate ability to understand the teachings of the Bible. Believing themselves wise, they become fools. Those who say the Bible is just fables, I don't need that, I prefer Spinoza, or the philosophers of old like Socrates, I get more out of that than I do the Bible. These people are acquiring academic knowledge of certain nebulous subjects. Nothing's nailed down by these guys. There's always someone to disagree. There are always different schools of thought. And many of them make perfect sense as far as human logic is concerned. It's the problem of application is where it all comes unwound. And so these guys are in a debate, an ongoing, centuries, a millennia-long debate as to who's got it all figured out. And eventually they begin to either merge up with religion or become a religion. So nothing's ever nailed until you get to the Word of God, and those who reject it believe themselves wise, yet they've become fools. Now, when a believer is controlled by the Holy Spirit and is submissive to His mentorship, this deficiency in ignorance is transformed into a clear understanding of divine thought. Now, there's another filling up of the deficiency. We noted how a rebound solves the problem of the filling of the Spirit. Now, what is another aspect of this? Once you are saved, you know the doctrine of salvation and maybe eternal security. And that's about it. And that's what's in your soul. It's not full, you can see. And so if you're going to fill that up, you've got to learn some things, and the Holy Spirit is going to be your mentor. And so He begins to fill up the deficiency. Every time you come to Bible class, there's another layer of knowledge. And this is slow. Grind it out, plug away, and you finally get all of this doctrine in your soul. You reach spiritual maturity. There is the filling of the deficiency. So this is what happens under the grace apparatus for perception. Secondly, the concept of fully possess. The concept found in the instrumental of agency stresses the control the Holy Spirit has over the soul of the believer that He fills. Now, once He gets in there, let's go back to the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I think this chart here does a good job of that. Once you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, then He begins to control your life. You are status quo spirituality, the filling of the Spirit, you have doctrine available for recall. The Holy Spirit begins to manage your life for you. Now you have this circumstance before you, what are you going to do about it? Now remember your doctrines, A, B, C, and D. Now you have the information before you, what are you going to do? Now the Holy Spirit's done at that point. He's had His recall ministry, He's already taught you, data's up on the screen, and you can read it. Now what are you going to do? Volition is now challenged. And if you're positive, you say, well, it appears to me that probably what I need to do is a combination of these with emphasis on number three. And if that's wrong, and you think about it and concentrate on it, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you might make some adjustments in this. No, you think through it. If I do three, if I emphasize three, what will be the ramifications of that? Is it going to in any way affect other things that will come into view and therefore destroy this as a good problem-solving device? And the Holy Spirit will guide you in that as you think through it and say, no, you know, it's really not number three. Three is involved, but that's not the primary application. Primary application is number two here. And you think through that and you say, that's right, I will apply number two here, and then later on, number three will become pertinent. And so you think through it, and you have the power to do this. You've got all the information. You have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You're positive to resolving the issue in an appropriate fashion. You think through it logically, and then you move forward with your decision. Now, we all make mistakes. On occasion, you foul up because we are human and because the Holy Spirit is not able to get through some blind spot of yours. But primarily, you're going to be able to execute a decent spiritual life if you accept this kind of humility and a problem-solving device system similar to that idea. And when you are fully possessed by the Holy Spirit, this is the way things function. And when the believer is responsive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he is fully possessed by Him. And possession here means that the Holy Spirit controls the life of the believer by bringing him under His divine influence. It is marvelous to think that we have the indwelling of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God indwells us. In fact, we can go to the Scriptures and note from varied passages that every member of the Trinity indwells our body. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the moment of our salvation. We have the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory. And we have the indwelling of God the Father. They indwell us. The God of the universe indwells us. That is a unique concept for church age believers. Therefore, we can take advantage of that through the divine influence that comes through the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He fully possesses us. Number three, to fill with a certain quality. The power associated with the filling of the Holy Spirit is of an infinitely higher quality than that of human power and ability. a human viewpoint, human good, evil, human intelligence, human education. All of these things are reduced to insignificance when it comes to the thought that a person is capable of having under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is infinitely superior, therefore of higher quality. The omnipotence of the Holy Spirit, therefore, empowers the believer to execute the Christian way of life. Bible doctrine filling the soul, therefore, is the highest quality of knowledge, and it's available equally to all who have faith alone in Christ alone. It is an opportunity. The option is there. Spiritual IQ is available. The teaching of the third person of the Trinity is available, and you may utilize these as you will. The only breakdown comes with your volition and rejection of opportunity. But it is a tragic case of missed opportunity if with all of these assets you do not utilize them for the advance. Fourth application is to fully influence. The Holy Spirit is able to motivate the believer to continue his spiritual advance through the development of reciprocity. The Holy Spirit's objective is to get you into the plan of God, and that cannot be fully accomplished. The objective of the plan of God is for you to serve Him, and you are not going to be able to accomplish that objective unless you learn who and what God is and develop reciprocity back toward Him. That's your major motivation. Do you know who God is? Do you know His character, His integrity, these are expressions of His love? The love of God goes back to eternity past. All of the things that we enjoy are expressions of that love, and we are regulated by a system that manifests His love. And therefore, once these things are learned, that becomes reciprocal love back to Him. That's how you're able to generate love for God, reciprocal love for God. And that becomes a motivation. You're not properly motivated unless whatever you do is designed to serve God. And you're not going to serve someone you don't know. You're going to serve the master you do know. And our Lord says you can't serve two masters. Well, who is the master that's to be served? It is the God of this universe, manifest to us in Jesus Christ and made available to us through the filling and teaching ministries of the Holy Spirit. They become our objective with regard to our spiritual life. We must be motivated to serve them. And we won't be so motivated unless we have love for them. And love for them is reciprocal on our part. It is generated by our learning about the love of God for us in eternity past. None of these things, therefore, possible without the learning of Bible doctrine on a consistent basis. And so when fully influenced by doctrine and motivated by reciprocal love, the believer develops capacity for blessing. And that's when escrow blessings really change your life. You have no idea what God has lined up for you. It's already been imputed in eternity past, according to Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4, but not conveyed until the conditions of the escrow are reached, which is spiritual maturity. Therefore, you have to follow the mandates and do so loyally, without question. I will follow you. When Christ said, follow me, what did He mean? Do what I tell you to do, and don't go where I tell you not to go. Just follow me. Don't ask any questions. These guys were dumber than dirt when they first started out. They were unbelievers, obviously. Peter had a problem. He was very impetuous, mouthy. And Matthew was a tax collector, which meant he was a politician. I don't know how you can overcome that, but he did. And there were other people who were quite learned. John was quite intellect. So you have all these varied personalities. You can say our Lord was diverse when He chose His apostles. And this diverse bunch was really a sort of a harum-scarum accumulation of guys who really didn't quite put all the dots together until after, of course, the Lord was resurrected and the New Testament began to be revealed through them. And Paul really connected the dots. And so all of these things became clear to them later on, but not with regard to their ministry with Him. So He would say, follow me. And they got to asking questions, where are we going to go? Follow me. Does it matter to you where we're going to go? You'd almost see the Lord wanting to say that. Why do you care? I'm leading this show. Follow me. I'll take you where we need to be, and then you do what I tell you when we get there. Yes, sir. That's the attitude. Now, children ought to have that attitude with their parents. I want you to go thus and so. Well, why? Well, it's not important why. Just go there. Do this when you get there. What's the answer? Yes, sir.
That's what I saw last night with these kids that came up from Harlingen, little old boys. That's all they were, little old boys. And you tell them to do something, yes, sir, go do it. You say, well, that's slavery. You bet your spotted bottom. That's exactly what you are. If you're under the authority of your parents, you are a slave to do precisely what you're told with no questions. It's either yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, or it's yes, sir, and no, sir. Don't look to the left or to the right. March forward and get it done. No questions asked. No worry about the outcome. That's what children ought to do. But they're not. But that's another story. Follow me. That is where you're a child of God. You don't ask questions. Do what you're told. Do it with a smile on your face. Do it with the idea that I'm just going to do what he asked me to do because that'll please him. I don't have to understand it. What am I going to do? Write a book? Just do it. So that's the idea. And there will be capacity for blessing. For that is where God opens the doors. When you orient through humility to the plan, say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do that. And ultimately, things become very obvious. Things clear up. Dots connect. And you're able then to learn what God's up to. And it's phenomenal once you get your ducks in a row. Point 9. The principle of filling up a deficiency then is found in several passages that make reference to the grace apparatus for perception. I got 5 here. Lord of mercy, can I get through them? Well, let's do a blitzkrieg here, and on Tuesday evening we'll come back and do it a little more slowly. Number 1, it is used, let's go back here, the principle of filling up a deficiency is found in several passages that make reference to the grace apparatus for perception. So what we want to do is learn doctrine and fill up our deficiency. We don't know all the doctrine we need to know. Number 1, it is used for the pastor's communication from the pulpit to his congregation. This is found in Colossians 1:25. I became a minister according to the standard of God, which has been given to me for your benefit, in order that I might fill up the deficiency of the Word of God. Now you've got the pastor teaching doctrine. That's his duty before God. God has this big flock, and he assigns portions of the flock to certain shepherds called pastors. The pastor's job, therefore, is to shepherd the flock by teaching them, by feeding them the manna from the Word of God. And I became a minister according to the standard of God. So he's a legitimate communicator with a spiritual gift. It's been given to me for what reason? For your benefit. And the end result, that I might fill up the deficiency, pleroo, that I might fill up the deficiency of the Word of God in your souls. We're going to fill it up if you'll keep coming back. Point 2, when a positive believer invests redeemed time, he experiences spiritual growth under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit. So when you are filled with the Spirit and come to Bible class and begin investing, then there's going to be spiritual growth. Colossians 1 verse 9. And for this reason, we, the missionary gang of Paul's, including Timothy, Titus, and Luke, and for this reason, we also, from the day we heard, and what did they hear? A report about discord in the Colossian church. They heard about that. They had to go and start giving data and information and doctrine by which this problem could be resolved. And for this reason, we also, from the day we heard, have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. There's pleroo. Means to fill up a deficiency. That you may be filled with all epinosis knowledge. The knowledge there is epinosis. It is doctrine understood, circulating in the stream of consciousness, epinosis knowledge of His will, all the way out to wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, the prayer of Paul and his missionary buddies is that the people of the Colossian church will grow in grace and overcome whatever the problems are they have with regard to discord and acquire epinosis knowledge in the stream of consciousness. Now that has to do with spiritual growth, and that's what they're praying for. And the filling up of the deficiency is brought out in that verse. Point 3, when the believer advances to spiritual maturity, he develops the capacity to share the happiness of God. The capacity to share the happiness of God. And that occurs at spiritual maturity. 1 John 1 verse 4. In fact, we write these things, that's doctrine, We write these things to you in order that our happiness, problem-solving device number 9, might be brought to completion. That's to fill up a deficiency. Pastors are really not happy until they're convinced that their assigned congregation is making significant spiritual growth, and some of them all the way to pleroma. In fact, we write these things to you in order that our happiness might be brought to completion, that you grow in grace and make it to the high ground. 4, the production of the mature believer is the result of attaining pleroma status. Now we've gotten these guys to spiritual maturity. So let's note Revelation 3, verse 2. Wake up, rebound and redeem time. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain that are on the verge of extinction. That's invest time among the remnant of mature believers in the church. For I have not found your production to have reached completion. Pleroo. Not found your production to have reached completion. The application of doctrine is not running on all 8 cylinders here. With still gossiping, maligning, judging, backbiting, sniping, and God knows what all else in the field of overt sins. So there's no completion in the view of my God, according to this verse. So the church at Sardis is not taking the high ground with doctrine and reciprocal love motivation. But they should be, and that's the mandate. And finally, number 5. It is from the vantage point of the high ground of spiritual maturity that the believer is able to defend his soul in the battles of the invisible war. That's where you do battle. It is on the high ground where you have maximum artillery to fight the fiery darts of Satan. This is implied by Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, because of this invisible war, pick up and put on the full armor from God. That's maximum doctrine plus reciprocal love motivation. That's putting on the full armor. Why? In order that you might have the ability to resist in the evil day. That's life in cosmos diabolicus. And having done everything, there is the concept of having reached pleroma. You're filled up with doctrine, therefore you can function as a good soldier for Christ. And having done everything to stand firm. That means under maximum pressure from the angelic conflict, you can defend your soul from the forces of Satan. We'll review these 5 concepts and then advance in our study on Tuesday evening. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the opportunity to study your word and to make another advance in your perfect plan, to crystallize yet a few more concepts that make clearer to us what you want us to do with our lives. Motivate us as we learn about your love to continue this advance so that we might serve you efficiently and appropriately as good ambassadors for Christ in the hostile environment of the devil's world. And we lift our prayer in his name. Charis human kai rene, plethunthae en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu, tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.